my bees.
That last break. you think I was kidding. And
these breaks are hard. When he shuts off the music, it stops hard.
That's probably why a lot of times they don't want to play good music, because they want us to get back into the show. Oh, I keep saying, no, keep playing that good stuff.
I love it.
Because the more good stuff that's played, the less I have to listen to you attempt to talk.
Little Men in Black. Well, that's what the Men in Black song.
No, I understand that. All right, so UFC 249 was Saturday night. We're still going to talk a little bit more about that tonight. Fight night,
yep.
Another UFC on Saturday. We do have a guest.
Yes.
I asked you to produce. I knew you would come with nothing.
A guest inside the arena.
I have known this guy. Well, he broke in Saturday to the arena, and he's been in there for about 4 days.
Okay.
So I've known him a good 6 days.
Perfect.
Okay. I've probably known this guy longer than anybody in this sport. He is the executive editor from MMA Weekly, as well as one of the original Village People members. Let's welcome to the program Scott Peterson. Scotty,
how
are you?
The one with the mustache and the leather jacket, by the way. Good. I'm doing good.
You still have that jacket, don't you?
Hey, I can still fit into, you know, my pants from 30 years ago. That's not bad, huh?
You're still fitting into those chaps. I'm glad to hear. First and foremost, let's get right into Saturday night. You've been to hundreds of MMA events as well as numerous protest rallies. What was that like?
And what one was of those was with you. Was with you, yeah, in New York. Me. We were there together.
Right. When I throw you under the bus, I'm with you, because we were there together. So we're both going under at the same time. How eerie was that? How crazy was that?
It was really cool. It was really cool. It was good. It was good to get back to work. It was good to get some normalcy back to life. Granted, it was a little strange being in an arena that was empty, and you could just hear everything in there. But one of the guys, one of the press guys next to me, at a social distance, of course, while wearing a mask, we were in the arena like with nobody else there. It's like we felt like billionaires watching, this fight being put on just for us. It was pretty cool.
Should I assume, due to the pandemic, that the media food was not up to standards?
They've done better. But, hey, there was still food, and the food was social distance, as even the water bottles were. So I appreciate that.
You know, I mentioned at the start of the show, Scott, that I enjoyed watching the event with no fans in the stands. I enjoyed, being able to hear, every crack, every crevice, every comment, that the corners were saying. I liked that. Now, I know fans wanted to be there, but I enjoyed it, no fans.
Yeah, well, both you and I kind of hate people, so I think it's kind of built for us, having no
can I correct
crowd.
You? Can I correct you on one thing, Scott?
Yes.
I want to correct you on one thing. It's not we kind of.
Yeah, but yeah, it was, what was really strange, it was like the moments, because there was some amazing, amazing fights, and it was, you had Bryce Mitchell with, in the prelims with insane jiu-jitsu on the ground, and when you had that knockout by Francis Ngannou, and just destroys this guy, and he turns around and walks off with total silence and no crowd. It was weird.
The other thing that I felt was just as weird, and I honestly thought that you would have done this since nobody else did. I didn't hear a single woo. I didn't hear a single put him in a body bag, sweep the leg. All that stupid stuff that we hear at every single event.
The sport's progressed. Or hasn't. I guess it depends on what you want.
Yeah. No, that's for sure. How was it, interviewing, shooting video, as we typically do after each fight, where we'll get the winner and we'll talk to him? How was that set up?
It was actually pretty cool, and everybody seemed to be in a consensus in the press that it was like, man, we wish it could be set up like this all the time. So they had the press room set up in the concourse, where usually the fans are getting their beer and popcorn And that's where we were at. And then we just, from that's where the stage was set up, where they would bring the fighters back. And then we could walk a short distance and be in the arena watching from the top of the lower bowl, which is like the best seat in the house. You're not looking through the cage. And so the setup was awesome. So what they would do is they would bring a fighter in as soon as he was, as he is able to after his fight, he would come up to the table. And they had all the press guys had their own table, socially distanced with the, 6 feet between us all. And we each had our own microphone, so we weren't sharing microphones and touching that. They went through an inordinate amount of precautions for this. It, from the moment you got to the hotel, with getting the nasal swabs and the blood test, and every day you got to get tested here and you got to get a new wristband, or else you can't be in the hotel. And so they've gone through a myriad of precautions, to make this event happen.
I have my own thoughts and opinions, and I'll give it to you. I've already expressed it before you came on. But tell us about, the waiver that you had to sign and why so many non-attended media and people have such a big ordeal about it, a big thought about it. I don't see it as a problem. Give me your opinion.
What you're referring to is the disparagement clause that was in an agreement to cover the show. And granted, there was it was worded weirdly, and I can see where there would be some pushback on that. And they did revise it for this show, and but basically, I understand what where they're coming from, in that the UFC, it's like this in everything, and like with your state, with your governor opening up, being one of the first states to open up. When you're a leader and you're not one that leads from behind, sticks their finger in the air to test, where the public sentiment is. But when you're a leader built on standards, sometimes you do things that you're going to get a lot of kickback on. And this was one of those things where Dana White is the leader in live sports, and this is like bigger than MMA, where he is taking the first step and literally putting his neck out there, and people are trying to chop it off. And people within the MMA media, it's pretty crazy, because these steps do need to get taken at some point. And you can disagree on the timing and whatnot, but I understand the sentiment of that. With the risk that they're taking, they're just trying to protect the brand. And unfair criticisms or things being said, sure. They just want the truth to be out there, and that's what was put into the clause, is that we're not trying to keep you from giving your opinion or freedom of speech, but that you tell the truth, and that's all they want, and that's reasonable.
And let me clarify, I don't have a problem with it. I don't have a problem with what allegedly, it was, what it said it was. Some people have said that if you were to catch the virus, you can't sue. You shouldn't be able to anyway. If you go somewhere and something happens and you're aware that could happen, you shouldn't be able to sue. If you go and say something that's not true, you should be able to get sued. So I'm okay with that. I don't know the whole letter. I don't know everything that's in it. But if that's the big thing about the two, I'm okay with it. And for anybody that has said, and I'm sure you've seen it, well, any media person who signed that is not a media person. To me, it's crap.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. And but like I said, I can see the way it was initially rushed out. I can see where there'd be pushback and confusion on it. But they've made it clear. We're not trying to stop you from reporting and giving your opinions and whatnot, but just be truthful, because they tried to put this fight on in California, and you had a U.S. senator try to stop the event, which was done. And so the precautions taken. They're not trying to limit speech, but they just want to work. They just want to get our sport back. And it's so important because this is leading the way for the rest of the world, showing the rest of the world how this can be done, how we can get back to normal life, that we don't have to be holed up in a box forever. That, and like you said, the people wanting to sue for getting sick, it's like, how can you sue somebody for life happening? That makes no sense to me.
You go to skydive, you sign a waiver, your chute doesn't open, and you die. Well, first, you can't sue anyway because you're dead. But B, you're jumping out of a perfectly good airplane. You know that there's risk. So to think that if there's, it just kills me. It just absolutely drives me crazy. So
yeah, I don't know. Oh, go ahead.
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
I was just saying, I don't know how we came to this place in our country and the world, feeling like there could be a life condom put on us and protect us 100% from anything. And when Jacare tested positive, it was like, oh, see, you know, some people are going, see, you're putting everybody. It's like nobody said nobody was going to be testing positive. All we can do is put precautions in place because we got to get things going again. And this is not a death sentence. It's just a flu to some people.
I think everything played out as it's supposed to, you know, and all of that. Now, I understand where some people might have said some things. If Jacare didn't say up front, well, someone in my family has tested, you know, but he was honest up and up front about it. And as long as everybody does it properly, everything is put, the steps are put in for this to be able to get back to some form of being normal. So I'm excited about tonight. I thought the fights on Saturday, give me your thoughts, but, you know, I thought they were arguably it was the greatest night of fights I've seen ever.
It definitely ranked up there. I mean, who would have thought that Tony would have been picked apart like he was by Gaethje? Gaethje made Tony, in my eyes, look like an old man. It was amazing. I really do feel that this week of fights, particular 249 and these others, is that this is, like I said, it's bigger than the sport. It's bigger than what the Khabib-Tony fight was going to be. It's bigger than the fight we had, Khabib versus, or Gaethje versus Tony. This is about us making our way back to living again. And I really do feel privileged and honored to be here and be part of the sport. And I think all of us as MMA fans should be honored and proud to be part of a sport that is showing the world and leading the way back out of this pandemic.
All right, so I'm scared to ask you this next and final question because I know you probably better than most. So you may not even be aware of what I'm about to ask you. But BKFC, and you know that we're heavily involved with David Feldman and BKFC, offered Mike Tyson $20 million to come out of retirement and fight a BKFC fight. Thoughts?
I don't know what Tyson's bank account looks like, but $20 million is a lot of money. I hope he's not in a situation where he's got to do it. But on the other hand, when you get with there's a case to be made that bare knuckle fighting might be safer than fighting with a glove on and the wraps on, because the other fighter, it might look worse, but the other fighter is not going to take as much sustained head trauma with the wrapped hand. And,
I am shocked. Let me jump in just for a second. I'm shocked that you knew that, but that is 100% correct.
Now, who's Mike Tyson again? No.
Exactly. Robin's ex-husband.
But I would tune in. I would tune in. Who wouldn't tune in to see that? We love the circus. We love the circus.
Well, you might be tuning in, but this much I know for a fact. Do what? You still there, Scott? Do what? Oh, we might have lost him.
Oh, no.
Did we lose him? Oh.
They found him hiding in the crowd.
I guess so. Well, what I was starting to say to him was he may be watching on TV, but I know this for a fact. I will be ringside.
We.
Well, I don't know about we.
No, we're French now.
No, we're not French.
We're Team Nagano, and we're French.
Well, we're Team Nagano depending on who he's fighting.
Oh, is he from France? What's he from? Oh, he's from Africa, but doesn't he speak French?
Yeah.
Yeah,
I believe so.
Let's go.
But I will be for sure. It all depends on how far the drive is as to whether you will be there.
I'll drive to Fight Island.
I won't be in your car if you're driving to Fight Island.
Wherever it is.
Well, and the thing that I like about Scott is a lot like me, where I say, you know, when I'm done covering the NFL, I'll probably never watch again.
Right.
That's Scott.
Yeah.
Scott doesn't know a whole lot. His job is covering the sport.
Sure.
And you don't necessarily have to know names. You don't necessarily have to know certain things to be able to cover the sport properly. And that's one of the things that I like about Scotty P, who, by the way, just texted me. So I'll finish this segment, and then I'll figure out what he was saying. But, yeah, this is the knucklehead that I hung out with at the Trump protest rally in New York in front of Trump Plaza.
Yeah.
60,000.
And it was a lot of... Oh, there he goes.
Oh, there he's back. Back.
So what I was starting to say to you, Scott, was you may watch the Mike Tyson BKFC on TV. I promise you, I guarantee you, I will be ringside for that fight.
You got to give me your second press pass.
Well, sure, if it means taking it from Matt, you're in.
Would you take a punt even now? Would you take a punt for $1 million? From Mike Tyson.
Well, you know, it's funny. I had some work done on my house, and it was with a jiu-jitsu guy, and we were talking about it. And you know, it's very easy to say for $1 million, absolutely I would. And here's my response to him. What good is $1 million if you have $2 million worth of medical bills?
and a good lawyer.
You're Matt's right. You get hit so hard and you sign the check over to somebody else because you're in a coma and you don't know. And then, you know, it's kind of senseless. But yeah, I don't know. It's so easy to say yes, but I don't know if I would.
Scotty, which left hook would you want to take? One from Justin Gaethje like Tony did or from Mike Tyson?
Gaethje.
I would take Gaethje just because of the body, the weight behind that punch.
Right.
Even though it's coming from an older guy. I would not want an uppercut from Francis Ngannou. I wouldn't do that for $1 million. No way. That scares me.
All right. Probably even the more important, and we blew through that last break, so we have about 5 minutes left to hang out and talk. Are you getting the rental car tomorrow? Are you coming to Torta Pizza tomorrow, or are you going to get lazy and just sleep in the hotel?
That is still being considered. You'll have to talk to... I'm working on it.
He's not coming.
You're going to give me pizza?
You know why we're not?
Yes.
You know why he's not coming?
All the pizza you want. It's a buffet of pizza.
He didn't even go to the Brooklyn Bridge when we were in Brooklyn. I had to take a picture in front of him in front of a bridge. He's not driving all the way over here to get pizza.
He is a better photographer than you, though.
What do you mean?
He took the picture of me in front of the Brooklyn Bridge.
Oh, okay.
That is awesome. So he is a better photographer than you.
We went on that pizza tour, which was really fun.
Yeah, except for you fell asleep on the bus.
Hey, I get tired and I go to sleep. It's like if I go into a movie, I don't make it through 2 hours in the dark.
Well, I got to be honest. It's me watching. Really, it's not just the UFC. Whether I watch a WWE pay-per-view or whatever, you know, it goes so late. You know. I now understand how easy it is for you guys that live on the left coast to cover a sport on TV, because it's over by 6:30 in the evening.
Right.
It was 1:15, and I'm sound asleep. I'm like, who just won that fight? I have no idea. I had to rewatch it. But
who decides these rules of the times of East Coast, West Coast? I don't get it.
I'm sure it's all, you know, of the timing of
the network,
the network, the promotion that works the deals with the satellites, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Scotty, like you were there. Like, was the Cejudo fight stopped early, in your opinion? Do you think Dominic's just crybaby after the fact, or was it a legit stoppage?
Uh, I thought it was a good stoppage from my point of view. You know, he can, but you know what? Those refs are in a rough spot, and they have to protect the fighter. Like the Francis Ngannou, I definitely think that guy took more shots than he needed to, even though I think a lot of those were just grazing off the skull and not like full on. But yeah, I thought Cejudo, the stoppage of Cruz was good.
Since I know you're
and definitely
an expert,
Tony too.
I always lie and say one more question, and then I come up with other stuff. But I'm trying to get to the top of the hour, and I'm just curious how the Dominic Cruz alleged that Peterson had ironic smell of alcohol and cigarettes smell. What does a cigarette smell change a referee's reffing? You know, if he did, let's just say he smoked a heater before he walked into the octagon. How would that change his refereeing?
It might give him some clarity, actually. So, it, depending on the point of view and your proclivity towards substances.
I think if you were the proper media person that I know you are, would you go up to him and ask him what brand of heater he smoked?
There's a menthol.
Yeah, I would like say, hey, I want part of the hit. Come on, man. Don't be stingy. Don't be stingy.
I just got to ask, man. Like, in your whole career of covering the sport, have you ever seen anybody throw repetitive strikes to the quad? Like Tony Ferguson did against Gaethje. Like, and have you ever seen anybody effectively go down from it?
What was that? I was like going, what's he trying to accomplish here? Especially when Gaethje's throwing heat with bad intentions to the head, and then Tony's putting himself at risk punching the guy's leg. It's like, I don't know what that was. But, hey, Tony is a man that lives life to his own beat of his drum, and I do appreciate that. And so I don't know, but I wish he was at the post-fight press conference so we could have asked him that.
This is the final question because we are almost at the top of the hour. You know, everybody had been waiting for Tony Ferguson, Khabib. Tony Ferguson has been in Tour de Pizza. Do you think, as I do, and we have 30 seconds left, that Justin Gaethje versus Khabib can be as big as Tony Ferguson, Khabib was going to be?
Oh, bigger. I mean, Khabib is one of the biggest stars. I would say number two right now as far as getting draw. I think it'll be bigger. I think, Gaethje gained so much cred and respect after that fight, and he's matured so much as a fighter, where before he was like just throwing caution to the wind, is like, I don't care if I get punched in the head, and now you can tell he's being more judicious in his fighting and taking care of himself, and he's just becoming a better fighter, and he is still exciting.
He is the executive editor of MMA Weekly as well as the former construction worker in the Village People. His name is Scott Peterson. Scotty, thanks a lot. I'll talk to you soon.
My former roommate.
Yeah, you're right.
All right,
we're at the top of the hour. Let's hit this break. When we come back, more shenanigans. This is Knockout Radio, brought to you by 8 Man Strong and Staff Sun. We'll be right back.
John Elway, and you're listening to Talkin' Sports with Randy Harris.